in the middle of a Gemara describing the 12 hours of Adam HaRishon, and how Adam HaRishon's first 12 hours, filling the entire day with development, represents the fact that Adam HaRishon is the purpose of time and space, of existence, and therefore things had to happen to Adam throughout that entire 12-hour period. So we learned last time already how Adam HaRishon, in the first hour, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathered his dust, his dirt, which would form Adam HaRishon. In the second hour, Hashem made some type of golem, some type of shape. In the third hour, Hashem expanded and extended the limbs of Adam HaRishon. In the fourth hour, he blew a neshama into him. In the fifth hour, he stood on his feet. And now we're up to the sixth hour, if I'm not mistaken, the Shah Shishas. Okay, we saw the Gemara, we saw all 12 hours, but we were going through how each of these represents a different maila of an Adam. So after Adam stood up on his feet, and now he is elevated over the animals, so Shah Shishas, the Gemara tells us, Kara Shemos. Okay, we're over here, right over here. Shah Shishas, Kara Shemos. In the sixth hour, Adam HaRishon gave names to animals. The ability to give names to someone is obviously a great madrega, in the sense that it shows a certain mastery of an understanding of identifying something. Again, the names that Adam gave to the parts of creation were not arbitrary names. They weren't nicknames. Adam was able to somehow capture the essence of all of those beings. So says the Maharal, Davarzem Madrega Yoser Elyona, Vuhu Hasechal Shakana. To be able to look at something, to analyze it, to grasp its essence, and then to define it, to name it, is indicative of the great wisdom that Adam had acquired. And that is part of what makes him a human, more than an animal, that he can continue to progress in his knowledge and his understanding of things. Ki kriyas ha-shemos morezeh ala chachma v'das shenasan Hashem yisbarach likro shemos. Because it's indicative of Adam's wisdom that he's able to look at it, he's able to identify it, and he's able to call it by a name. And there's no doubt that this degree of understanding is another level. Again, we're going through the course of Adam's day. Each of these is another level of understanding. Shvius, in the seventh hour, Nizdav Golo Chava, Adam got married. As smart as a person is, obviously until one gets married, when one gets married, let me say it differently. When one gets married, you realize how little you know about so many things. So, in fact, the higher madrega than naming the animals and naming the creatures of the world is being able to what? Is being able to marry. It takes tremendous wisdom to appreciate what a marriage can be, and to make it what it's supposed to be. Shviyaz nizdav galochava. In the seventh hour, a shidduch was made. Davarze madrega yoser nosefes. Mashayesh la'adam zivuk. Vahu hashlamaso adju adam lagamre. A person is not shalem. A person lacks a certain degree of wholesomeness, of completion, until a person is able to enter into a marriage. And that's what the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos, Kol she'ein lo isha, ein lo adam. A person's not a complete person. You don't have a full perspective on life if you only live alone. A person's not a full adam until and we say this with great sensitivity to people who have never married, who are not married. Right? But there's obviously a certain degree, a quality of wholesomeness that can only be achieved in a marriage. V'davar zeh ein kan makomo. Now is not the place to elaborate on this. Aval ha-davar hu barur. For those who've been married, it's very clear. Ki ein ha-adam Yisraeli nechshav adam shalim b'lo isha. Because a Jewish person in particular, a Jewish person, the Jewish ideal of marriage, a Jewish person cannot have shleimus without entering into a marriage. So that was the seventh hour. Shah shminis in the eighth hour, adam and chava were able to produce children. Alu lemita shnayim v'yardu arba. Two went into the bed and four came down. Who? Piri v'rivya. Adam and Chava were blessed with their first children. Shedaver zeh be'ein safek madregen osefes la'adam. It's one thing to get married. It's another thing to have a family. It's a great madrega. Ki ha'adam hu prati ba'atzma bovad. Because a person is an individual when he's on his own. He's an adam prati ba'atzmo. Now you'll say, what do you mean? We just spoke about adam taking a wife. But a wife, a marriage, is really a reunification of the two halves of oneself. Children really is the process of what? Of being beyond oneself. As much as one's wife, you know, ishto kegufo, Chazal say, right? What does that mean? A wife is an extension of her husband and vice versa. In what sense are they two separate entities? One, you know, one whole entity, right? There's certainly a oneness to a husband and a wife. children, of course, are deeply connected to their parents, but now it's no longer just about me. It's about creating and it's about bonding with something that is beyond the Adam Prati. Ki Adam hu Prati ba'atzmo bilvad, u'mashayeshbo tolda u'piria verivya eino nachshav Prati. When a person becomes family-oriented, so then the person is no longer focused on himself or herself, or even a husband and wife, right? When they decide, and with Hashem's blessing, are blessed with children. So now, it's a sense of continuity. It's a sense of something bigger than self. Sha'arei b'kocho hariboy b'li gvul, u'mizeh hatzad eino prati. Right? Now you're allowing the continuity of life to take place. Maral writes in many places, it's a deep idea, that something that's more prati is more gashmi. It makes sense. If Hashem's description of Hashem, who's the ultimate of ruchnias, is echad, so something that has more pratim, pieces, right, that can be divided into parts, by definition is more gashmi. So it's interesting. So when I produce more people, right, with the sense of what? The sense of creating a family unit, right, that is a move away from the pratius of self. It's less selfish, is what we're saying. And it's more focused on the klal. It's more focused on the world, as opposed to just focus on myself, what's comfortable for me, or what's convenient for me. It would be much cheaper not to have any children. But obviously that's a very selfish way to look at the world. So by moving towards Pru or Vu, Adam and Chava are showing themselves to be focused on the klal, and by being focused on the klal, that's more elevated. The more klali a person is, again, the more a person is able to focus sort of on the big picture, that's an indication of a person who is spiritually oriented. Okay, so that's the eighth hour. Let's keep going. In the ninth hour, Adam, of course, now needs to form a relationship with God. And he receives mitzvos. After Adam has completed, so to speak, finding himself and finding his wife and identifying his surroundings and bringing children into the world. So now he says, hey, there's a God. What's my relationship with God? So Hashem says, good question. Sheva mitzvos. We've explained earlier that Adam HaRishon was commanded, like we spoke about in the earlier prakim. Adam was commanded in seven mitzvos as a means of what? As a means of refining his soul on the most basic level, as we learned in the earliest prakim of the Sefer. And without being commanded by his creator, Haya Adam La'atzmo, man would operate totally alone, independent. And this goes back to our theme. Because let's not forget what this parak is about. We've been in this parak for a while. Hopefully we're going to finish it up tonight. The theme of this parak is, how do I know that there's Torah min HaShemayim? So the Maral starting point was, well, if you believe in God, you should believe that God, who created a perfect world, is going to give perfect instructions to the world. So now, before you get to a Jew at Har Sinai, let's talk about Adam. Adam had to have the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach. That's what Chazal say. As soon as Adam has a sense of, you know, self-awareness, he's immediately commanded with some type of structure for his life to accept upon himself a Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, some type of heavenly responsibilities in order to bind him, in order to attach him, to bind him to his creator. Vayahu, and if not for that, right, if he didn't have that, Hayahu Elokah Chas V'Shalom. Without that, he would be what? He would be his own God. He would try to live a life that was devoid of any guidance. Ulficha chabriya sha'adam hu rosh b'olam atachton v'yeshlo ila. So therefore, Adam, who is the what? Adam is the height of the olam atachton. Adam is the pinnacle of the lower realm. Yeshlo ila. He recognizes his cause, his supernal source. Tzarech shi'akavul hu gzera se'ila. He needs to receive the command, the guidance, and the direction of his creator. That's the only way that he's not independent. And therefore, he's commanded in these seven mitzvos right away. We explained earlier in the seventh parak, we explained why specifically seven mitzvos. We spoke about a box, a cube, right, with a center point, and that sort of gives the structure to the environment of Adam HaRishon. Again, a six-sided, like a die with a center point. Kamoshe is bar lamala. Again, we explain that above, why dafka, the starting point for humanity, is seven. Vizel madrega hagadola, and this is obviously a very great level. V'lakach nitztava b'tshias, and that's why Adam was commanded in the ninth hour, ki oz hayom hu b'tachlis shleimuso, because that's when the day, so to speak, reaches its pinnacle. Why? Because Chazal explained to us that from the end of the ninth hour and on, and it's really based, the footnotes here bring a Mishnah, Meseches Negaim, that from the tenth hour and on, the day starts to move towards night. And night, of course, represents the lack of clarity. So it makes sense that as Adam sort of reaches the pinnacle of Yom, the end of the ninth hour, or the ninth hour, throughout that ninth hour, he's commanded in the mitzvos, which will help him to live a life that is wholesome and complete. What happens once you cross over the ninth hour? It's amazing just to see how the time itself was really influencing Adam. From the end of the ninth and on, the day begins to set. And it moves towards darkness, to a heder, an abandonment, right? A void of light. And of course, as human beings who are imperfect beings, we have a lot of dark patches in our soul. We have that heder gamkin. And therefore, in the tenth hour, as we enter into that realm of darkness, Adam sins. Ki yesh ba'adam netia lechisaron. Because Adam, by being a created being, while on the one hand he reflects the image of Hashem, at the same time he's imperfect. He's imperfect. And therefore, so quickly, as part of the basic structure of the life of man, those 12 hours of creation, Adam has to mess up. Again, that's not to say he doesn't have free will, but the Maharal is showing us sort of this higher order that governs reality. Ve'echad asar nidon, in the 11th hour he's judged. Ve'gam zeh nichnas begeder habriya. This also has to be part of the rules of reality, that if you mess up, there are consequences. Ki adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yachta. Like it says in Koheles, there's no tzadik in the world who doesn't sin. People mess up. It's part of life. It was woven into the opening moments of creation. V'lakach ma shechata ba'asiri hu shayach l'briyaso. So that which Adam sinned in the tenth hour is part of, it's the nature of a human being. U'kmo shenichlas gam kein begeder hayom, Shah Asiris, just like the day has a tenth hour, which again reflected within, you know, the light of the world, the Sha'az Ha'ur Maschalioskaya. It's a time when the light starts to dim. So too, what is sin? Sin is the dimming of our soul. The kachachit shall adam gam ke nichlas begather adam. So just like part of day are moments that are much more illuminated and moments that are moving towards darkness, so within a person we have our bright and shining moments. And we have those moments where we gravitate towards sin, towards darkness. Shidava kaheder be'etzem Adam. Right? That the void clings to Adam. It's part and parcel of the human experience. V'chein hadin. And the same thing is true again about the judgment. Shevadai kevan she'ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yachta. Since the reality is, as it says in Koheles, there is no tzadik in the world who doesn't mess up. Im kein i'efshar she'yeh b'lo zeh. It's not possible to not have consequences. There are mistakes, and there are consequences, and that's how life goes. And lastly, in that 12th and final hour, Adam was already being sentenced to be driven out of Gan Eden. V'shneim esrei nitrod v'halach lo. In the 12th hour, he was sent away. He was sent away. Achash nidon nitrod m'ma'alaso. Now, sent away doesn't necessarily mean he left Gan Eden quite yet. It's a little bit of a discussion exactly when he left Gan Eden. Maybe he stayed for a bit longer. Maybe he stayed through that first Shabbos. But it was already determined that he was being pushed away from his Maila. He was losing his lofty qualities. Hashar Hayalo Mikodem. V'nishar Omid Al Madrega Pachusa. He was sent down to a lower level spiritually. V'masha Hayalo, with what different than what it was intended for him to be. As is appropriate for a sinner. If you sin, you go down in a madrega. It makes sense. And that's, again, what happened to Adam by the end of that day. Now again, Adkan, that Gemara, very beautiful Gemara, interesting Gemara, the 12 hours of Adam Arishon, Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Ches. And now we come back to the point. Why did we spend so much time analyzing this Gemara? So says the Maharal, Harei Beiruzal b'chachmasam Chazal, with their great wisdom, are hinting to us in this Gemara, these 12 hours and these 12 experiences, so to speak. The main point I want to focus on, says the Maharal, is again that once Adam comes into his own, he receives the command of Hashem. There has to be a Torah and a Shemayim. It's unreasonable to think that there could be a God who makes a world and doesn't guide the world. The command of Hashem is drawn into creation itself. Because it doesn't make sense that the created being should be detached from his source. Rather, he should stand with order, with stability, in the presence, and with connection to his Creator. So now, says the Maharal, last but not least, it's interesting, let's think about the way that we receive Torah, not just Sheva Mitzvos verses 6:13. Let's talk, in conclusion in this parak, let's talk about what? Let's talk about Aseres HaDibros versus Kol HaTorah Kula. Let's talk about Aseres HaDibros versus the remainder of the Torah. How does that fit into sort of these two elements of, these two primary proofs that I've been trying to share with you, says the Maharal, as to the need of Torah or the proof of Torah Min HaShemayim? Corresponding to these two indicators, these two primary indicators that Torah is, in fact, heavenly ordained. Ha'echad, firstly, ki roi shia adam ha'alul misudir tachas v'shoseila. Number one, that the created being should be organized, as it were, in the domain of the Creator, that it shouldn't operate. Hashem shouldn't throw us into this world and leave us to our own devices to figure out what's going to be. V'hasheni, and secondly, ki roi sheyushlam ha'adam al yedei ha'Torah min Hashem yisparach. And secondly, not only is man's life chaotic without Torah, but Torah is needed to help man to achieve his shleimus, as again we've explained many, many times earlier in the Sefer. U'lefichach shnei dvarim b'Torah. So Torah reflects these two realities, and we call them the Aseres HaDibros and the 613 mitzvos. How so? Aseres HaDibros b'fnei atzmam, v'hasheni kol ha'Torah b'fnei atzma. Aseres HaDibros and then the Torah. What does that mean? V'zeu ki Aseres HaDibros heim kabalas malchuso yizbarach. Aseres HaDibros, don't think of them. It's interesting what the Maharal says here. You would think of Aseres HaDibros as sort of like the essence of Torah. Maharal says, I'm not even so focused on what the ten were. I'm focused on the fact that you heard them directly from Hashem. Now again, exactly what we heard from Hashem, did we hear the first two? Did we hear all ten? Let's go with we heard ten. That we heard ten from Hashem, we heard 613 from Moshe. Okay. So the ten that you heard from Hashem, so to speak, the Aseres HaDibros, where you received directly from the Creator, Heim Kabbalas Malchus O Yisbarach, Al Yedei Elo HaMitzvos, by receiving those mitzvahs directly from Hashem, that allows a person to, so to speak, enter the domain of the Creator. That was a moment of direct contact with the Creator. And therefore, the Aseres HaDibros have sort of their own place in the life, written on two tablets, not only just a portion of the Torah, which they are also, of course, the Aseres HaDibros appear twice in the Torah, right, but the Aseres HaDibros have sort of their own space, their own domain. These Luchos HaBris, Sheheim Kabbalas Malchuso. That is the moment of accepting Hashem as God, as Creator, having a relationship, becoming subservient to Him. V'haschalaso, and therefore, of course, its starting point is Anochi Hashem Lukecha. I am Hashem, your God. Lo Marki Hu Yisbarach Malcolm, I'm your King, I'm your God, I'm your Creator. V'acher kach gozer gzeiroso al Yisrael. These ideas can be expounded upon greatly, but only afterwards that Hashem command us in the remainder of the Gezeros. These ten, again, represent the moment of accepting the Creator over the created. And the remainder of the Torah is the fine-tuning, so to speak, of our life. So again, says the Maharal, that corresponds to these two aspects. Namely, that the Torah was given min hashamayim to ensure a relationship between Creator and created, that our lives shouldn't be chaotic. After all, if the world is so perfect, why would Hashem not have a relationship with us? And secondly, Torah Mina Shamayim as a means of man perfecting himself and achieving his ultimate goal. So that's reflected by Aseret HaDibros, relationship with God, and all of the mitzvos giving us the full picture of what we need. Okay, I know the time is 9:21, but I really want to finish this parak. So let me tell you what happens in this last paragraph, which happens to be really hard to read. Okay, but here's the point. Let's fly through it for a second, and we'll end this parak, and then next time we can start asking the question as to why the Avos were not formally given the Torah, if the Torah is so, so important. Why did Hashem wait 2,448 years to give it to humanity? But let's end the parak with one final comment towards the philosophers. Okay, just quickly. Va'od yesh mofis, and I could say one more, you know, proof or indication as to what I'm saying. All the philosophers are willing to agree to the following. It's not possible for the mind to advance on its own. It's not possible for a person's soul to progress on its own. There has to be, if you believe that the world was created, that means there's a force that's pushing against reality or pushing reality into being. So the same way that reality is being brought into being, so too the seichel of a person, translated as soul, translated as mind, the seichel is what? Is being yotze al ha-pa'al al yidei ha-seichel ha-pa'al. What he means by a seichel ha-pa'al is that there's some heavenly source that is pushing man towards actualizing his potential. There's something that's mashpia ha-seichel. Now again, if you look in the writings of the philosophers, and you can look in the footnotes of the edition that I'm using here, he explains, he quotes from the Ralbag, and he quotes from the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, that all the philosophers believe that there's some type of angel, or some type of force, or some type of system that we're trying to align ourselves with, right? So whether you call it some type of angel, or you call it the sun and the moon and the stars, whatever, there's some mashpia, there's some force, I don't know how to explain it really, because I don't fully understand it, that is motivating or that is generating the possibility of going from potential to actualization. So if you believe that there's something out there that is somehow directing, so why not just say that God, who created the world, is directing with Torah? Meaning, if you're willing to believe that there's some malach elyon, there's some koach elyon, that is somehow pushing us towards potential, so anachnu talmidei Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom, we say that what is that source? It's Hashem Yisbarach. And what is the thing that is driving us towards perfection? It's the Torah that Hashem gave us. Asher ledaitam hu echad min ha-malachim. Right? They assume it's this seichel pa'al. There's some, I don't know how to describe it exactly. There's something that is pushing everything towards its perfection. Call it a koach elyon, call it a malach elyon. The Rambam talks about it. There's something out there that is pushing us towards perfection, pushing us towards actualizing our potential. So if you're willing to agree to that, says the Maharal, so let's just call it Hashem. Let's just call it the Torah. That's his concluding point. V'davar zehu b'prati hamin shakol seichel v'seichel min ha'adam hu prati u'motzi seichlo el ha'po'al. U'bavada ki yoser rishon v'yoser kodem hashpas ha'seichel el ha'klal shu yoser rishon min ha'prat. So he says, instead of trying to focus on each mind, each philosopher trying to perfect himself and to perfect his idea and to come up with his breakthrough, so why not have some type of unifying system that we can all tap into? And he concludes the parak by saying that's what the Torah is. U'midavar zeh mischayev b'chi of gamor, ki hu yisbarach mashpia ha-seichel ha-klali, what he calls here the seichel ha-klali, which is the Torah. That seichel ha-klali v'hi ha-Torah, shi yashpas ha-seichel ha-shayechel ha-klal. This is the system that, again, is not each individual's philosophy and each individual's personal perfection, but it's somehow the seichel ha-klali of the entire world, and since we accepted it, the Jewish people befrat. V'davar zeh karov l'mashe esbar, and this is close to what I've been explaining all along. V'davar zeh mechayiv Torah min hashamayim, v'dayiv zeh al mish shenasen lo Hashem Yisbarach inayim liros, vaznayim l'shmo v'leiv l'das u'l'das ha'emes. And again, if you're a smart person with open eyes and open ears and a wide mind, you'll understand the truth of these matters. Again, this was a hard parak. I certainly don't feel that I grasped every point of the Maharal. And as Jake reminds us every time, they're not exactly proofs, but they're you know, you have to have a moon at the end of the day. But again, this gives us a little bit of a sense of why it's very reasonable to assume that if the world says to you that there's a creator, if you look at the world and you say, and I look at my body and I look at reality and that all reflects a creator, so it's very, very appropriate to assume that the creator would have given us a seder by which to live by. And that's Torah min haShamayim. That's the Torah min haShamayim. And his point again is that the philosophers believe that the world has a creator of some sort. And they believe that there's some guiding force. So just call it God and call it the Torah. And that's what we believe. That's what Jews believe. Okay? All right, we'll stop here for tonight.